Blog Talk Radio.
Dial, please don't do it. Thank you. Bomatum. This is Sanakori, and you are, guess where, Cyber World. This is Taino Radio. Check us out on tainoradio.com. I'd like to thank all you countries. You know, I do this every time. I just have to because I'm so happy about all these beautiful countries, starting with Turtle Island, United States of America, in first place. That's right. Borinquen. Puerto Rico in second place, like always. And it's catching up. You're catching up to Turtle Island little by little. And guess what? Canada, you're still there, holding on tight. Canada. And check this out. Who else is coming on? Jamaica, the great island of Jamaica. And runner-up is Quisqueya La Bella, Dominican Republic. That's right. And like always, I like to thank an up-and-coming country that's been with us for so long. And that is, believe it or not, Mexico, the great Mexica nation right there. That's beautiful. Thank you, Mexico, for tuning in and day out, all of our shows. And then we have, believe it or not, this country is faithful since day one. I know there's some Tainos out there, and this is the great country of Russia. I want to thank India. These are the original Indians that Columbus thought he encountered, right? But India, you've been with us. Thank you. Australia, like always. Japan, never been colonized. We honor Japan. Then we got a whole bunch of countries out in Europe. We have Norway. We have Germany. We have Italy. That's right, Italy. You've been with us for a while. United Kingdom, Ireland. Portugal, and Chile, Argentina, you've been with us for so long, and wow, thank you all for tuning in. I know probably a lot of these countries are probably sleeping right now out west, way out in the east, so I'd like to thank you all. We invite all the countries. I haven't heard from Nigeria for a while, so we want to bring you back. Also, Colombia, we haven't heard from you. So please, Colombia, come on back. We got to get you back. So Taino Radio, this is Sanakori. And once again, we have an action-packed show. After a week absence, guess what? The Spooky Loo Paranormal Show is back. And let me see all the way. That's right. All the way from Area 51 in the great state of Nevada, do we have Spooky Lou? Are you there?
Hey, what's going on? How's everyone doing tonight? Thank you, Lou. Mr. Sanakori, I appreciate that. How's everyone doing tonight?
Wait a minute. They let you out, Area 51?
Yeah, someone paid for me. A little bit of money just to get loose for a little while. You know, I have about an hour, maybe two. Let's see what happens. And until then, I'm free.
Wait, hold on. In that case...
Who's that? I know I've heard something. Rebecca, look at me, I know you. This is something. What's my challenge? Oh. I heard you. Help me. I need some help.
There you go. You're always there to help. But why do they call you scary? That's the thing. I don't know.
Because she's creepy.
Well, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, we're creepy and we're spooky. We're the Addams Family,
well,
you know?
Well, check it out. I'm going to go to the control boards. Spooky Lou, Scary Steph, take it away.
Don't go too far because I have some questions for you. So yeah, how you been?
All right, no problem.
How's everything? Good. How you been, creepy? How, what have you been up to?
I'm all right. I'm doing good. Just came back from a quick trip down to Florida. So trying to recuperate slightly. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. What part of Florida did you go visit?
I went to a few different places, actually. Most of my time was in Orlando, but I ended up going down to Palm Beach as well, West Palm.
You know, it's funny. I never been to that area. And were you driving around?
Yeah.
You were driving around. Huh?
I drove everywhere.
Okay. Well, it's interesting, right? The reason why I asked you, were driving around and seeing how the town was and visiting. While you were down there, did you happen to see any kind of, like, psychic places that were open? Was there any of that? Was it pretty big out there? Or I'm just curious.
So in Orlando, around, like, the airport area, I want to say every couple of miles, there's, like, a psychic spot. Like, there was this little broke-down, run-down motel, right, specifically. And I want to say it was maybe 10 minutes away from the airport. And right on the side of this little run-down hotel is a big old psychic sign, like a white sign with red letters. And all it says is psychic. And I'm going to assume that they rent one of those hotel rooms, and that's where they do their little psychic thing. And I was just like, dang, I should really stop and see if they're legit or not. But I didn't have the time to do it. But that it's something that I enjoy doing.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I'm curious, did you notice when you saw these psychic places, do you think it was designated for where around tourists? Well, passing by?
Absolutely. I feel like most of the areas that have, you know, the big signs for psychics, it's high traffic areas. So anywhere that there's a main road, anywhere that there's going to be a lot of, like, foot traffic, anywhere that there's going to be a highly frequented bus stop, you'll always see a psychic thing close by in that area. Or at least marketing in that area. Maybe not every single time you get to one of them, but it's one of the most ideal places for psychics to market themselves because, you know, it's high traffic. I don't have anything to do. Let me go ahead and stop in.
That's interesting, right? It brings to my point. You know, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be psychic or have special powers, can see the future, look into the magic ball, and predict your future. But, you know, today's topic pretty much is, are they real? I mean, are there people that have capabilities that can actually sit there and read your future? Because, you know, I've come across all kinds of psychics, right, different kinds, people that claim to be psychic, and then you have all kinds of way of telling the future, right? You have people that sit there and they say they can contact, you know, a spirit, give you some advice. I've heard of people, the most common one is probably the, you know, using cards, right? And then you have other ones where the movie con, you look into a crystal ball, little goldfish swimming around, they can tell you your future. I added that part, but you know what I'm saying. And I've heard of people that you drink tea or coffee and you put it upside
down. You read what's left in the cup.
Yeah, that to me is amazing. Mm-hmm. How can someone drink some hot coffee, put it upside down, and you can tell me my future? I've heard of this. I've never experienced it. But I've heard of different people that have that capability. But this is the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, is this real? Is it fake? Is it all about money? And it's not just that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of people that claim they can see the future and you know, help. But, I mean, from your experience, because you said you enjoy seeing psychics, do you believe? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I believe it's all a hoax. They're all fake, and it's not true. And that's it. So I'm warning everyone out there, save your money. Do not pay these people. If you want, honestly, you can contact me, and I'll be more than happy to tell you your future, and I'll charge you a little bit less. You know what I mean? Save that money for me. No, I'm kidding, but go ahead. So I want to hear your experiences on your psychic adventure.
So I'm not going to say I think all psychics are fake. I can't say that. You know, we've had numerous shows in the past where I've spoken about my own personal experiences with foresight and things of that nature. So I can't just toss it to the side. I will say, though, Miss Cleo scarred me. I don't know if you guys remember the old commercial back in the day where it was this woman with a Caribbean accent. She was always on, like, the commercials, call me now for your free tarot reading and all of that kind of stuff. Her name was Miss Cleo. they said that
Cleo,
she was a hoax. She ended up being a hoax. And I think that's really where it all started for me because, like I said, in my family, we do have people who can do divination. So, and like I said, I do have some sense of foresight in some instances. So since I was a kid, I wanted to always go to psychics and I wanted to talk to them. So, you know, my mom would go to Santeros and I think one of my first experiences with a Santero was me in Pennsylvania with my mom. She took me, I had to be between 16 and 18 when I went. And the Santero sat me down at a table and read my future to me. And he told me I was going to get married to somebody that I went to high school with and that I was going to do all of these things after he asked me questions about myself. So I thought it was a crock of crap because why are you asking me questions first? From that day, my thing has always been I want to go to psychics and I want to see if the psychics will all tell me the same thing. Granted, you know, every day is a different day. So, you know, any small fraction of change can, of course, change your future, right? But for the most part, they should be able to answer some simple questions, right? At least that's what I thought. So from 17 years old to however old I am now, because I ain't telling y'all, I have gone to psychics and I've sat there in the chair stone-faced every single time so that they can't get anything out of me. And I just listened to them talk. So
okay.
I also read tarot cards. I've read tarot cards since I was nine or 10 years old. I've been reading tarot cards. So I've become well-versed in divination, just the overall in general. You know, I can read your cards pretty well for the most part. I read energy pretty well.
Okay.
So when I sit down with a psychic and I'm stone-faced, I'm not giving them anything to go off of. There is no raising of the eyebrows to indicate, oh, shit, you just, you know, caught on to something because they look for those tics, the ones that aren't real at least. They look for those tics and they look for those cues to see where they strike a nerve, where they get your attention. And that's how you spot the real ones from the fake ones. So if I sit there and you're just like, oh, okay, I see love in your future and I'm stone-faced, you know, they're going to have to pry some information out of me. If I'm not giving you honest information, then, you know, you're not going to have the right thing, which is what I've done. So I've sat there and they've said, oh, yeah, I see love in your future. I see this, I see that. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, really? And I'll feed into it. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm single. I have nothing going on, blah, 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 blah. And I live completely opposite from what they're saying. And they just read off of everything that I'm talking about, everything that I'm responding to. And I'm just like, you know, I wait till the end of it all. And I'm just like, so you know that everything I said wasn't true, right? So you're a hoax. And then they get so insulted and they get so upset.
Call people up. You call people out there lying?
All the time.
Really?
I do it all the time. It was a hobby at some point because I don't like it. I'm not fond of it. I've always been very spiritual. And like I said, you know, the family that I come from has generations of gifts behind them. So knowing that people innately say things like, oh, you know, that's a crock of crap. It's not real. It's not this. It's not that. Knowing that there are some people who really can do it. And then these people are just out here, you know, pay me $45 for 15 minutes of my time for me to just tell you lies and people believe it. I don't like it. I'm not fond of it at all.
No, no one should. You're paying.
I do it.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
I've met a few. I met one out here out in Long Island in Nassau County at Rockville Center that blew my mind exceptionally. I walked into a metaphysical store. I had my son, and, you know, she saw my son walking around. She saw me walking around. She walked up to me, and she's just like, you know, your son has a very creative aura. His aura is a really bright blue. So I looked at her, and at first I'm just like, oh, that's bullshit. But I said, thank you. And she's like, yeah, no problem, blah, blah, blah. She hands me her card. She's just like, I do readings every once in a while here, once or twice a week if you ever want to come in and do a reading. So I'm just like, ding, ding, ding. All right, cool. I'm going to try this one out too. So I go ahead. I sit in the chair maybe 2 weeks after I met her. I sit in the chair. And as I'm sitting in the chair, she looks me dead in my face. And she's like, I don't know why you're here. And I looked at her. I'm just like, what do you mean? And she's like, I don't know why you're here if you know how to do this yourself. So I was like, all right,
wow.
Cool. Wow. So I'm just like, nice, no problem. And then she's just like, all right, so what is it exactly that you want to do? I'm just like, you know, give me a reading. Give me a full spectrum type reading. So she pulls out some cards and she reads my cards. I'm pretty sure she did like a Celtic cross type of reading for me, which is, I want to say it's 11 or 13 cards, something like that. And she used Renaissance cards, which is the same tarot deck that I use. And she went through the entire thing. And then she told me who my archangel guardians are. And she was just like, there's three people who are talking to me that want me to tell you something. So, you know, usually when they say stuff like that, it's just like, oh, you know, somebody who really loves you, blah, 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 blah. This woman told me details. She's just like, your ex that died in a car accident, she wants you to know, blah, blah, blah. I had an ex-boyfriend who died in a car wreck.
Okay.
And then she's just like, your grandmother who died from cancer, she wants you to know this, 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 and this. And my heart dropped. And she's just like, and your grandfather is always with you. And
wow.
That was it for me because my grandfather had died back in like 2015. No, 2005.
Yeah.
Four.
Okay.
So I'm just
okay.
Like, what? So she gave me all of this information. Mind you, there was no personal information that I gave to her during my tarot reading for her to be able to say anything about an ex-boyfriend who's dead, my grandmother who died of cancer, and my grandfather who's been dead for however many years at that point. So it was me leaving. You know, right before I left, this is what she says. Oh, by the way, they want me to tell you X, Y, and Z. Like, it was weird. And I actually recorded that entire reading the entire time because, you know, like I said, I do this all the time. I call people out, and I like to have proof if I got to call them out. So I had the entire thing just recorded, and like I said, it blew me away. Her name was Ronnie. Really, really, really dope person. But she pegged me to a T from me walking in, and I didn't even have to say anything to her. So you know, psychics like that, people who read energy in that capacity, I could never refute. Mm-hmm. But the other people who come out here like Miss Cleo, I can't. You know,
no,
and
definitely.
It's hard to find a really good psychic.
Well, I mean, there's so many out there, so many that are, and there's a lot that are famous, right? Like the late Walter Mercado, may his soul rest in peace, you know? Con mucho, mucho, mucho amor. Remember that back in the days? I'm sure all the Latino kids remember growing up with that, you know? But, tribute to him.
I couldn't stand him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, me either, right? But now that I'm older, I kind of respect him, you know, like, wow, that dude really...
Yo, everybody loved him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, looking back on
himself,
you know, what he accomplished, you know, is pretty amazing. But going back to, and I'm glad that you were able to expose psychics, but I'm glad you met a psychic that you thought was real. I'm going to have to, you know, really say, I'm sorry. Psychics are fake. They're all fake. It's not written. You know what? I'm really saying that to get people angry so they can call in and be like, no, you know, but I'm just kidding. I don't really believe that. I do believe.
Look at you starting problems.
I do believe that there are some people that do have a gift and you know, they can really change your life, or they're here meant to help others, you know. But unfortunately, I know there's a lot of psychics that are not real and they go around. But it's really hard to distinguish what the truth and what's not the truth, because I know people see psychics, and a lot of psychics, like you said, they're going to ask you for information. Based on the information, they're going to give you information back, and then you might be like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Right,
or
exactly. See, and I don't like,
you know,
that. That's my biggest pet peeve. Don't ask me for information if I'm coming you to seek information. You know what I mean? For them to say, oh, well, I need a little help. I need a little bit of information. I need to understand who you are. No, you don't. Tell me what the card says. Because every single card, right, if you're reading tarot cards, just for example, every card has a meaning, whether it's reversed, right, or right side up. It has a meaning. So it can just be generalized information, and I can take that information and interpret it however it fits my lifestyle. You just got to tell me what the cards mean. You know what I mean? So I can't deal with people who call themselves psychics that really rely on the customer to say, yeah, you know, well, I'm 21 and I'm from, you know, Northeast Atlanta, and I come from a family that is Irish and Black, and, you know, I have 3 siblings, and my mom died when I was 7, and you don't need to give your life story to a psychic before they read you, because all they're doing is fishing for information. Now they're going to say, okay, you know, I see some trauma in your future, and it seems to stem off of past child and adolescent issues that you had. And then that's when you're just like, oh my God, yeah, because that's when my mom died. And it's like, no, cut the shit. You got that information.
Yeah,
that's what I just finished telling you prior to us starting this conversation. You know, and like I said, that irks my nerves. It really does. It bothers me a lot.
Yeah, it's just a lot of weirdness, you know. I remember a few years ago for my birthday, I drove out to Arizona, Sedona, Arizona. I don't know if you've ever been there. But that's like one of the meccas of like psychics. So supposedly there's a vortex there and a natural energy that, you know, it's just coming out of the earth, right? And when I went, I was amazed because almost every single store was a psychic place. Almost everyone, they could read your energy, tell you, you know, different colors. I actually tried it. So I go in there, and I was like, wow, you know, let me try this. This is pretty cool. And I was a little upset. You know, I go in there, I start talking to everyone. And I was like, yeah, you guys from out here, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to deal with some spiritual people, local people from Sedona, New Mexico. Arizona. And, you know, ancestors been there forever. Oh, where are you guys from? Oh, I'm from New York. Oh, what?
yeah, I'm from uptown. Oh, yeah, I'm from Harlem. I was like, what the hell is this? I mean, I'm not saying they don't have a gift, but I just felt like, you know, like, I don't know. Really?
It seems gimmicky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take it away, but everyone there was from New York, and I was like, okay, you know. And it doesn't... I mean, it really doesn't mean anything because, you know,
New York
is
jungle where we breed psychics.
Exactly. I just felt awkward. Like, I don't know. I see you guys on the block. You know, I see you coming. So I was like, I just didn't feel comfortable. I still did it. You know, I did some sort of aura reading or machine. I took a picture of me, and I had like a turquoise blue or something like that. From what I remember, it was all right. Yeah, I don't even remember what that means.
I've seen that, where they take those little Polaroid pictures of you and it has a little aura behind you.
Yeah,
I've always thought that was a crock of crack. I've never, ever, ever had anybody tell me that that was real. Like, there are people who, like I said, the woman Ronnie that did my psychic reading just came out the blue and told me my son had this bright blue aura, right? But it's like, how is the photo going to really be able to, I guess, scientifically speaking, I guess we could break it down into the way the frequencies react to the light and, you know, whatever filament it may be that the camera has and blah, 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 blah. But can't that be altered scientifically in some capacity, in some way, shape, or form? Like, how do we know that those little photos really do represent the actual color of your aura?
Well, you know what? That's the fun part about it. You really don't know. So, you know, when you go in there, I think you either have to have that kind of mentality of, you know, you're at a well, not everyone, right? But I'm thinking you're like a Coney Island just playing a game here. And you got to take away
the
grain of salt.
That's the best
you know?
Way that I could say it. And that's usually what I tell people all the time, because I don't like it when people say, oh, I have to go to the psychic. I have to get this reading. I need to get my cards done because I need answers. I need this. I need that. You know, there are some people who really do rely on these quote unquote psychics, and they really dictate their lives.
Yeah.
Around what they say, whether they're real or not, and it screws up so many opportunities for them.
Well, that's when it gets dangerous, right? Because that's when people start believing in themselves and making the right decision for themselves.
Exactly,
they feel that they need to be guided to make a proper decision. You know, I've been there myself. You know, there was a time where I was going through some struggles. And I was really depressed, and it just so happens that I didn't know what to do. I happened to be in their house. They were really, you know, I just kind of met them. This girl brought me around the family and really cool people, and they were like, hey, you know what? You should stay with us and hang out. And I was like, okay, right? And they're like, yeah, you should hang out here, and you know that you're not too happy. Going some hard times, you know, we're your friends, we're just going to hang out. We're going to have a party later. You might want to be part of this party. And we might have a message for you. And I was like, okay.
This sounds super suspicious.
Oh, it was. So later on, I find out there are a bunch of santeros, right? Now, I'm not going to talk bad about anyone because everyone has their own beliefs, you know, and everyone has their own special gifts. And everyone follows whatever they want to follow. I mean, that's the beauty about, you know, what you believe in of being human. And, you know, I said, well, let me give it a shot. You know, I was so depressed and I needed guidance. And I was like, maybe this might open up something for me. Maybe I might have an experience that might blow my mind and I might feel different about life or I might know the next steps. So it was a very awkward situation, you know. It's like all these drums got pulled out, and I know other people may be familiar with this, but I'm not. I didn't grow up, you know, with those traditions. And, you know, everybody's playing these drums, and they're passing around these weird drinks and playing this music, and then out of nowhere, one guy stops me. He's like, hey, I have a message for you. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, your grandmother, she's with you. And your grandmother is telling you it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And she don't worry, you're not alone. And I was like, well, thank you. That's a beautiful message, right? So down, you know, it was for like a specific person, and then the main person that was hosting, or I don't know what you call them, but like the main powerful person that has the most knowledge tells me, hey, I have a message for you. And I was like, yeah, what, really? And she, you know what? It was the same exact message the other person told me. Hey, you're not alone. Your grandmother's here. She's here. Don't worry. You're going to be okay. And then she tells me, and I was heartbroken at the time, okay? And then she goes, I'm sorry, I was distracted for a second. So then she goes, I go, okay, you know, like my grandmother, wow. And she's like, that girl that you were with, don't worry about her. She's gone. She's never going to come back. You need to move forward, and you're going to find a girl, and you're going to have a child. You're going to be family. Within the year, you're going to be thanking me for this. Trust me. And I was like, okay. And I was like, wow. That was really sad and heartbreaking for me, because I didn't want to hear this girl wasn't going to come back to me. You know what I mean? I didn't want to hear that I was going to start over and meet some other girl. But then, I don't know, maybe that would have been my happiness. And you want to know what happened?
If I told you.
They were all wrong. That girl came running back to me. I love you. I miss you. And I was like, you know what? I said to myself, you know what this proves to me? No one knows anything. The only person that knows everything is God, the Creator. The Creator knows all. We are all human beings at the end of the day, and we all can, you know, make our best predictions, our best guess. Some of us are, I think, more powerfully in tuned and connected. But at the end of the day, you know, I believe that the Creator is the one that knows everything. No one knows everything. That's just my experience with the second. But I have another friend I might as well talk about it. She's a witch, and she's been on point, too. She's been on point, you know, one time. And she was a friend. She always looked out for me, just to give me readings, right? When I first met her, I was introduced to her. And no
like
one
power reading?
She didn't know anything. She didn't know anything about me. We just met once. We hung out. And then one day, we hung out, and we met at Starbucks, and she was like, oh, I'll give you a reading. I said, okay. She pulled out these cards, and then she's like, wait a minute. Let's do this again. And then she does it again. And then she does it again. She goes, okay, this can't be wrong, because it's three times coming up. And she goes, are you Native American? I go, why? She's like, because I see you have a lot of warriors that follow you, and they stand behind you. And I see three different tribes that war with each other to protect you or something like that. And I was like, and it made sense to me. I was like, oh, wow. She hit it on the nose. Like, she was on point. I never told her, but she was on point. I was like, holy crap, like, that makes sense, you know? And she's been able to tell me other stuff that's made sense as well. And that's why I know, you know, some people do, I believe, do have a power, or they're more connected. But to me, no one's 100%. You can't. We're all human beings.
Absolutely.
You know? And even those people have asked me, hey, remember I told you this? Did it ever happen? Because they questioned it. And I'm like, yeah. And even they're like, wow, okay. Like, I felt it, you know? And that's been my experience. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's how you can tell the difference between somebody who understands what they're doing versus somebody who doesn't understand what they're doing. Because there's a lot of people who can go out there and study a tarot deck. You know, there's a lot of people who can go out there and buy angel cards or divinations, and, you know, they can read books and they can learn. And it basically becomes a game of probability at the end of it all. because you're now using X amount of outcomes versus X amount of information that you have versus X amount of information that the cards hold versus whatever it is that you know about the person, right? So having somebody who actually is connected in some capacity to be able to properly provide you with information, because they're not going to give you advice, they're going to give you information. That's what makes the difference. Like, I'll never agree to read cards to somebody who is saying, I need advice. I need to know what to do. I need to know my next step. I will absolutely decline a reading. Absolutely, immediately. I won't do it because I'm not here to help you create your future. I'm here to give you the information that the universe wants me to give you. You know, whatever it is that I'm, that the creator or the universe has blessed me to understand or to know, that's the information that I'm here to give to you. The same information that I would give to you, you know, if I have a dream about something, or if I have a day of deja vu or whatever it is, where it's like, oh crap, we had this conversation before, blah, 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 blah. I'll never sit down and say, okay, you need guidance, come sit, let me read your cards, let me do your horoscope, let me do this for you, because that's not how it's supposed to be. Like you said, the creator is the only one who knows everything. So I can give you information, and I can tell you right now what you're doing, the path that you're on, can possibly lead to this. However, it's your job to be able to walk in your truth and make your choices.
That's
so that
true.
You can eventually get to where you want to be. But I'll never, ever, ever read for anybody who says, I need to do this, I need to have this, because it's like giving a crack being crack. You're just feeding, you're
right.
Just enabling something. And it's not healthy. It becomes an unnatural, unhealthy situation. And when they can't get to you, what do? They go to the next person who may not know what they're doing or may not have the same resources or may not have the same education and understanding. And what happens? You screw yourself over. Like I said, literally, it's just like giving crack to a crackhead. Can't do it. You can't do that.
And I agree. I agree. You know, I went to another psychic because she was highly recommended. She was pretty amazing, I'm not going to lie. She was very good. She was on point. But I'll be honest, I also felt everything she told me, I already knew. But it was on point. But I felt like I could have told myself all of this and still, you know, got to the same conclusion. It would have been much cheaper because she charged a lot. But the one thing she kept saying, well, I wanted to test it out. The one thing she did say is that, you know, I give you these readings because these are messages I get from angels. She's like, however, at the end of the day, you make your decisions because we have free will. So this could always change at any time depending on what, how you live your life or what you do. Nothing, you know, is set on stones. And I like that. You know, I like that she was honest about that part. And I felt that she was genuine. And it was just a genuine reading, and that was cool, you know. But I can't say that I don't know. I haven't been to too many psychics, though, because I'm pretty cheap, and I don't want to pay just to pay. You know, I feel that I don't need to go to psychics because, you know, I just feel my, you know, I have my own gift as well. And I have people like Lou that I would, you know, talk, hey, you know what? Lou, I know you're listening, and I want to bring you into this because I want to know what your thoughts for someone that also does can do tarot readings and all kinds of readings itself. I'm sure people have gone to you for help, but I'm sure you have come across people that maybe think that you're a fraud or you're not. Are you there, Lou?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I remember I got an early memory. When I was in my 20s, I admit this, man. I'll be the first one to admit it. I did my own tarot business, you know. I had an apartment in the Heights, so I welcomed people in the apartment. I was doing readings, right? And I was only charging $20, you know. And I put flyers up, you know. It's before the I guess back then we're using emails. There was no Facebook, so I was putting flyers up. And then one day, the last tarot reading I did for money, there was a woman, She was like, I guess this is the beginning of gentrification, you know, looking back now. This was like late 90s and stuff in the Heights. So she comes in, well, friend, you know. I guess she didn't trust me, you know, I don't know. But she says, can I bring a friend? So she comes back with a friend. So we're doing a reading, right? Then after the reading, she's screaming at me. You're a fake. You're this and that. I'm not going to pay you and this and that. So she's like, holy shit. Like, what the hell? It totally, she took the wind right out of me, you know? And because I'm thinking, this is like the best reading I ever gave. You know, I'm really getting insight to the cards, you know? So she storms out the apartment, right? Didn't pay me or anything. Her friend looks at me and says, man, you were spot on. Thank you. Maybe one day she'll accept it. And since she leaves the apartment, you know. But it was the last time that I, it's the last time I did a reading, though, for money. Well, that's when I realized, again, this is my personal thing. It was a Lakota woman taught me how to do a reading, how to do tarot readings. And she taught me, like, at a spiritual level, you know. And I felt bad, you know. I says, you know what? This is something profound. If you really focus with the person, this is a spiritual experience. So after that, I never charged. And I don't know, it kind of humbled me, you know, that experience. And I said to myself, I'll never charge again. And I never did. So once in a while, when people ask me for readings, I'll do them, you know. But that kind of woke me up, you know. It was weird, like, whoa, like, this is something beyond me, you know. And she just wasn't ready. She wasn't ready for it.
And that's true, right? A lot of people probably are not ready to hear the truth. Like trust me, like,
right.
when that lady told me that woman would never come back into my life, I was devastated, you know.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I thought it would help. It didn't help. It made it worse. But in my head,
uh-huh.
I told her, you're all wrong, because I know she's going to come back. And you know what? I was right. And I remember, I'm not trying to be biased, right? I'm also, because you're, you know, of course we're friends. I remember I asked you to do a reading for me, and you were spot on, man. Spot on. And you were so spot on that I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked you for a reading again, because I just,
oh, shit.
I'm scared.
Hold on now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If Lou got a reading, I want a reading.
Oh, wait,
you know what? I'm down. Wait. I thought you wanted to give me a reading. Okay, Steph, my bad. Well, this is a while ago, though. I don't know. Lou might have retired. This is years ago, and Lou did it for me. It was desperate times. Desperate times for me. It was during, you know what? Matter of fact, it was during the same. No, it was some years ago when I was going through a major change in my life. You know, that was unexpected, and I was lost. So Lou did me the favor, and man, you were spot on. So thanks for that, Lou. But Lou,
no man, I'm glad I helped out. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I have another question. For
yeah.
those that struggle with psychics, right, not on
uh-huh.
a different level, because you have people that believe that they're charlatans or liars, it's all about money, and it's fake. You have those that believe that it's real and they want to do it. But then you have those that are curious, they want to do it, but they're scared because they think it's evil and it's against the church. What is your opinion on that?
Oh yeah, because I know in the Catholic Church it's an official teaching, you know, a church teaching that then any tarot, Ouija board, stuff like that, it's considered sinful, you know. You just can't participate in that. So people are raised with that, you know. That's a sin to do that, to partake in those exercises, or in those practices, I should say. And I know for a lot of the Orthodox churches, too, you know, it's not allowed. So that's where that comes from, the teaching, you know, the church teachings,
yeah,
the dogmas,
but
you know.
You coming from the church at one point in your life, to understanding what you understand now, I mean, do you feel there's some sort of sin or
do you agree with
evil
it?
Or
oh, do
or
I agree with it?
Yeah.
Well, I used to be a Catholic Franciscan. You know, I was raised in that. I mean, I was raised by my great-grandmother, who was a Spiritita, a spiritualist, and she did rituals, she did ceremonies, and so on. So I got a taste of both worlds, and I can honestly say that, you know, I believe churches they shut the doors for no reason. Either I think a lot of it's fear, a lot of it is, you know, controlling the masses. You know, I think churches do that; they fear it. And, you know, you look at the rituals in the churches, the rituals itself, it's rooted in earth religion, you know, the earth-based religion, the spiritual practices of the earth-based people, the tribes, you know. So for me, I consider hypocrisy that they're forgetting their roots, you know. So
it's fear,
and also, you know, if you let the people do what they want to do, you can't control them, you know.
But that's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I have another
question.
That's
my experience. Uh-huh.
So, really, really brief. Anyone that wants to call in and debate or tell me I'm wrong about psychics, call at 515-602-9792 or 515-602-9792. So, I have another question, right? You being in the field, in the Taino field, running around, I know you've helped people throughout the years. I know this for a fact because I've been around and I've seen it. Have you experienced others, you know, no naming or anything like that, just curiosity of your experiences. Have you experienced others that are fraud, and you know that they're defrauding people, but they're making a killing, like it's really working out for them?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll just say this. I'll go on record on this. I think most people, you know, that I know started with a good intent, you know, like they honestly wanted to serve the people, you know. But I think what happens is once they start achieving some form of success in what they're doing, I think people fail to share with the people. And this I learned from the teachings of Frank Fuscrow. There's traditional ceremonies, right? And then there's self-generated. Self-generated is basically, this is what I created. You know, you through a vision or whatever, or my learning. You know what I mean? It wasn't handed down. And I think people, after some success, and I've seen this, they pass it as traditional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are so gullible sometimes, or people are really desperate, they'll buy it, you know? But it's not traditional. Maybe one day it will be traditional. If it's passed down generation to generation. But I think people need to be more honest and say, hey, man, I created this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that's an ancient secret, you know? Ancient Taino secret. Like I just don't see that, you know? Yeah, man. So I think that super ego gets involved sometimes, you know?
Well, super ego, fat pockets, right?
I know, right?
That's hard
well,
to
that's
give up
thing.
When you have, yeah, when you make good money, quick money, easy money, it's hard to let that go.
Well, I tell you, I know a lot of people, not a lot, but some people that I call friends or relatives, including my great grandmother, you know, they made money doing what they did, you know. And the ones that make the good money are the ones that dedicate their life to this service, you know. But, you know, and that's an area where it's very controversial, you know, selling services, you know. But traditional peoples that have that lineage, you know, they'll tell you, hey, we got it for free, so we don't charge, you know. And they'll say, we got it for free from the creator, you know.
That's
so
true.
We got no right. we got no right to charge, you know. And I remember I used to ask, well, what if you charge for lodging and charge for food? Isn't that acceptable? So I heard this from two elders. They're like, well, I guess you could. Just don't rip people off, or don't do the ceremony at all. If you can't afford to feed the people, if you can't afford to lodge the people, don't do it. Just do it with your family, you know? So I thought that was profound, too. It's like, wow.
That is. That certainly is.
But then what happens, it becomes a business for many people. It becomes a business.
Mm.
So when it becomes a business, then it's like, wow, I need a business plan, you know? You get two weekends, get one off. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, you get a free reading after five referrals. Yeah, no, I get it. It becomes a business and it loses its authenticity, you know, and the respect of it as well. You know, it's gone when you do things like that, you know, and then it's like, who can you really trust? It's unfortunate because I know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, but I tell you, I know a lot of handful of people that are really dedicated to their work, to their gifts. They're really dedicated. They're really creative, you know. And I guess if you dedicate your life to serve, you know, I guess, you know, you can justify the payment. But you know, traditionally I heard this from elders, as long as you don't rip people off, you got to pay your bills. But if you don't rip people off, like really take advantage of their needs, their vulnerability, it's all right. But you can't rip people off. You know what I mean?
Correct. No, correct.
Yeah.
You're not helping.
You gotta be just. You gotta be fair to the people, you know. So.
Well, here's another question for you. As for someone that studied the church the way you did, are there any mentions in the Bible about psychics, like true psychics, like they do exist, they acknowledge that they exist?
Yo, let me tell you, well, if you look at the Hebrew scriptures and you read about the prophets receiving their visions and stuff, that's straight up psychic ability right there. Whatever they were seeing, their visions, whatever, that's, you know, in the ancient world. In the Christian scriptures, you have, if you want to use Jesus, you know, he definitely had visions. You know, John the Baptist, you know, these visions, these, you know, reading people. You know, when the blind came to get cured, they know that Jesus, they didn't have to explain to Jesus. Jesus knew. You know, that's all over the scriptures, you know. The revelation of John, which a lot of people love, you know, the 666 and all that, that's all one big vision. That's all one big vision, you know. So, I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, it's all one big vision. And people take it literally, but it shouldn't be taken literally. It was a vision. It was someone's vision of the future. Oh, the present. That's the interpretation of Revelation of John. It was an interpretation of the present situation through metaphors and stuff like that. But people see it as a future prediction, how the world's going to end or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible story. I've read it, and it's scary, you know, scary stuff. But, yeah, you're right. Now, the way you stated that, me and Monty, how I read it, you're right. It was a vision.
Well, I just throw this out. You know, the beast, the 666, the mark of the beast. That was the early Christian code word for the Emperor Nero, who was killing Christians. So they call him the mark of the beast. He was the beast, the 666. You know, I forget how they came up with the 666. But it dealt with the spelling of his name, I believe. So, you know, you can interpret whatever, but there was some visions going on there. Yeah, there's dreams and stuff when he was a prisoner. One of those Greek islands. So, yeah, man, you know, that'd be a cool show to dissect all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, it would be a religious show. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But back to the psychics. I mean, I know I know you've come across many in the field that you're in. Have you ever had any that, I don't know, for some reason wanted to go to battle with you and spiritually went at it with you? Like, I know it sounds crazy, but have you ever had an experience like that?
Oh, yeah, man. I guess, you know, in this, what happens is, I think it, what we say in psychology is the old jealousy and negative thinking, right? So what happens is, you know, you put that energy out, you know, and if you're sensitive to energies, you're going to feel that. So you need to protect yourself, you know. In the native circles, right, we use smudging, right, sage, to get rid of the negative energy, you know. Basically is to keep us focused, you know. I remember not too long ago I was confronted. Someone told me, yo, you got to be careful. I'm like, what? I'm like, someone's going to do some voodoo. Someone's doing voodoo on you. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. Then my reaction was like, oh, and they told me, yeah, this person successfully kills people, you know, through their voodoo. So my reaction was like, oh, man, I feel sorry for that person. I'm like, and they're like, what the fuck? Says, yeah, because that's going to get back to them three times, four. So this person's going to suffer whatever they're doing, you know. So privately, I just, you know, I protected myself. Basically, you know, just, you know, I took a shower, you know, and I love taking showers. That's my smudging water. And I just said to myself, nothing can harm me because I'm not going to allow it. Then I said a prayer for this person. I sent good energy. Then I did the four-step purification process, you know, and I sent them that fourth step is sending that positive energy, that healing energy to them. And that's what I did. And that's what all shamans, really, the traditional ones do. When they get zapped, instead of zapping back, you send the positive energy. You understand?
Got it.
Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
got it.
For a lot of people, they get caught up in the rituals of it. I remember being raised in that, you know. You know, oh, Fulana wants my man, and then they do their ceremony against the person. The person goes to someone, and they do a ceremony against the. It's like this web, you know, a constant, the zapping, you know.
Yeah, it can be scary stuff, man. You know, I now that you said it, you reminded me. You know, so there are people out there you believe that are that powerful that can kind of assist to have someone killed spiritually or hurt someone where their life is terrible. You believe that these psychics have that ability?
Well, you know what? How about this? A lot of it, it's the power of the mind, the power of the mind. You know, we send negative energy to people, or we can send positive energy to people. The brain doesn't register negative. It registers the positive energy. We become stronger through positive energy. Negative just dissipates, you know. And this, the shamans know. They know about this energy. Positive energy creates, negative energy destroys. There's no life in negative energy. But people do a great job trying to convince people that negative energy works or destructive ceremonies work. And people believe this, you know? That's the sad part. People, like, they believe that it works. And that's the power of that ceremony, to convince people that it works. But really, it doesn't. You understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's the power of suggestion. It's not real, but until we make it real in our own heads.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I ever share with you guys that old Asian shaman story? This is a very ancient story. It's passed down through Chinese medicine. You guys, heard it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there was an old
teacher, right? The shaman. And he had many apprentices through the years, but he was already old. So he took his last apprentice. He was a young man, like his teenager, a lot of talent. So he's showing him all the different medicines, all the different plants, and so on. So one day, someone rushed into the village looking for the old shaman. And it says, you know, we need your help, master. We need your help. There's a village there. They're dying by the minute. People need your help. So the shaman said, well, how long is it going to take? And then he's like, 3 days on horse, you know. And I said, we can take you. He says, no, don't worry. Go back and tell them I'm coming with medicine. So he left, right? So he told the young man, hey, come on, let's go. We got a journey ahead of us. So the young boy went to get the horses, right? And then the old man said, no, leave the horses. We're going to walk. And then the man was like, we're going to walk? Didn't you just hear the man? These people are dying. He's like, don't worry. We'll get there. So that 3-day horseback turned into 8 days walking. And the young man was really, really worried. He's like, oh, my God, when we get there, these people are going to die. They're going to be dead. And the old man can teach them, oh, it's all right, it's all right. Don't worry, we'll get there. So when they got close to the village finally, after 8 days of walking, the young man said, how are you going to cure the people? You know, you haven't taught me anything about what we're going to do. So then the old man said, it says, young man, pick that stone up right now. And he pointed at the stone on the ground, right? So he gave the old man the stone. He says, just follow my lead. So he takes the stone, puts it in his pouch, right? So they go in the village, and there they are. People are dying or dead. They're burying the dead or dying. All of a sudden, the leader, I guess the chief, the leader of the village comes. And he starts scolding the old man. Why did it take you so long to come? The people are desperate and, you know, whatever, you know. And then the old man said, well, I'm here now. I will cure the people, right? So he says, bring me the sick. So all the sick came, right? So he goes in his pocket, right, the pouch, and he takes out the stone that the young man had picked up. And he says, so he points the stone at everyone. He says, I want everyone to touch this stone. And this stone will cure you. So he passed the stone around to everyone. And people kissed it. They put it in their forehead. They put it by their heart. All of a sudden, everyone got cured, right? And then when they were ready to walk back to the old man's home, another 8 days, right? The young man was like perplexed. He was frustrated, confused. He asked the old teacher, I don't understand. Explain to me. I picked up that stone. It was just a regular stone. You didn't do anything to it. How did it cure the people? And the old man looked at the young man. He put his hand on his shoulder. He says, you knew it was an ordinary stone, but they didn't know that. And it's the story right there.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that.
It's an old story. It's an old story. So sometimes I think, you know, it's the whole power of positive thinking, and also how does the person receiving this power, how do they see it, you know? So it's a two-way street there. It's a dance, you know what I mean? Now
it is.
Now, for a lot of illnesses is rooted in that negative thinking, you know, and many other diseases is rooted in, you know, biological disease. So you have to know how to treat it. So, but a lot of it is the mental.
Sure.
Well, I would say most of it is the mental. I don't know if you guys agree, but in my experience, most of it is mental. You know?
I'm sure it is.
So that's the first thing you got to realize, I think, as a psychic or as a shaman or a spiritual leader, is that what's the mindset of the person? What's their attitude? you know, what's your attitude? What's the person's attitude? So
that's
very,
true.
Very important.
That's very true. Interesting. Well, yeah, that's pretty much my interaction with psychics. Like I said, I really don't deal with psychics too much. You know, I have, like I said, I have a few friends that are legit. And they give good readings. They give positive readings, like you said. And it's all about the power of suggestion and positive stuff, you know. So I'm all for it, you know. I'm all for it if it's helping people and it's bringing happiness or the right guidance to make the proper steps for them to feel better about their decisions, then I'm all for it, you know.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. I was many years ago. I was very desperate. I needed a reading myself, but I didn't go to a tarot reader. I went to a traditional priest, Ifa religion, which is African, and I went to a person and they charged me $20. That was it. And you put your $20 in the altar before the reading.
Okay.
And this person was spot on. You know, it was spot on. And so, and he was so spot on that he was stern as well. He was very stern. He wanted me to hear, to listen, you know. But it blew me away. And I think as a true psychic, I find, or true shaman or medicine, there is that level of sternness. Like, I mean, sharing this with you, you need to listen. That, I believe, that authenticity, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I need to share this with you. I'm not making this up. You know, just say, you know, when you read someone, you know, you can tell by their eyes, you can tell by their actions, you know, that every culture, it's amazing how every culture has a gift, you know, especially these traditional cultures. And I think, I could be wrong, a lot of these psychics will kind of suspect, they kind of copy these traditions, you know, and they make it their own. So I think it's very important, anyone who's listening, if you want a reading, I think it's very important that you seek someone who's rooted in some kind of tradition, you know, that has lineage, that has an ancient way of approaching ceremony or approaching readings. There has to be some kind of
structure.
Test of time, structure, mm-hmm. test through time. And I'm not saying that, hey, you can't do it on your own, because a lot of people are really talented and gifted. But I think it's important that, you know, you take your time with this and you try to seek people who really know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They're not afraid to say, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to figure this out. They will just lie to you. See, that's how you know the real deal, man. The real deal people, when you see them, they're struggling.
Yeah.
Says, you know what, this is going to take more than one meeting. This is going to take a little extra effort on both our parts, you know. Those are legit people.
Correct.
You know, who are. And so it's just like, all right, give me $49.99. Right?
Correct. Well, Luke, I think the hour's up. I think we should close the show with this today. I do want to ask this.
That's right.
I want to ask this because you and Steph have some sort of idea. If there's anyone listening out there and they want maybe a direction of someone that they can talk to that you would be deemed trustworthy, would you be willing to, like, direct them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
anytime.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
All right, so if anyone out there is listening and needs some help and would like to get some sort of psychic counseling, you can reach us. You can contact Sanagori, or Creepy Steph, and you can always.
What a butcher job!
wait, it's spooky or scary? Wait, I'm like,
it's no, creepy.
Creepy Steph.
creepy.
Yeah, if anyone wants to get a reading and wants direction, you can always contact Creepy Steph or Sana Gori at 515-602-9792, or go to Spooky Lou's Paranormal on Facebook. You can always go to my page and leave a message there, or you can contact them directly, however you guys want to give your information. And I also want to give a shout-out to make sure you follow Unknown New Mexico. It's another one of our great pages. And follow Spooky Lou's Paranormal on Facebook. Thank you. All right, guys.
And check it out. Check out dianoradio.com. You get all the archive shows there. Or blogtalkradio.com/guasabara1491. So, Lou, before you go, people have been writing the Spooky Lou show about Bigfoot. They want to back up Bigfoot. They want another Bigfoot show. I swear they've been emailing me about that.
Absolutely. I was thinking about it. You know what? Let's do another show, and then the following show we'll do a Bigfoot. How about we do that? Because I think it's just back to close. Let's give our listeners a little variety. Not this Monday, but the following Monday we'll schedule in another Bigfoot show. I think it's an awesome topic. I think we did great. But yeah, definitely. Hopefully we can get people to participate in that show as well. Absolutely. I'm glad they're requesting this.
All right. So Spooky Lou and Scary Steph, is it?
Creepy.
Yeah. Too much DMT, brother. Too much.
What is it? Scary Steph?
Creepy.
Creepy. Okay, that's it. All right, man.
I told you,
see
it's
you
like
guys.
The Addams Family song.
Oh, let's try. Oh, I got to get that song. All right, guys. See you all next Monday. Every Monday night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. Who's that? I know I heard something. Rebecca, look at me. I know you are. Really something. What was that? Oh. I heard you. Now I need to run. There's no reason. Help me, I need some help me, oh my God, I heard that, what are you doing, no, do that, I'm so scared, help me.